If you have your Bibles with you, I want to start by looking at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to look at verses 12 to 16 of Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 12. Please hear this public reading of God's Word. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So some questions that we could ask ourselves as we come to our time of confession based on verse 12, which says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the vision of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So have we neglected the living and active word of God this week? And then I want to focus in on verse 16, which says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Mark has been preaching the last few weeks on prayer and about pouring out our souls before the Lord. So I just want to see if we've been putting what Mark's been preaching into practice. Have we taken our fears and struggles and pain and discouragements to the throne of grace this week? Or have we tended to neglect the throne of grace this week? Author Paul Miller, he writes this, Jesus wants us to be without pretense when we come to him in prayer. Instead, we often try to be something we aren't. I think what Paul Miller is getting at is he's saying that, say we're dealing with discouragement. We're really discouraged on this particular day. And then when we go to the Lord in prayer, we never address that discouragement. We just talk about surface level things. I think that's what he's saying. That's coming with pretense. We're acting like everything's fine when everything is not fine. Which really doesn't make logical sense, especially in light of verse 13, which says, no creature is hidden from God's sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So the Lord knows. He knows our pain. He knows our discouragements. He knows our fears, and he wants us to pour those out to him. He wants us to take those to him in prayer. So I want us to flip over to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, which is just a beautiful passage of someone pouring out their soul before the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 10 to 20. The story of Hannah. Everyone's probably familiar with this story. The beginning of 1 Samuel 1 tells us that Hannah, the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, and this had gone on year by year. So she's been dealing with infertility for years. And this is a burden for her. This is a struggle for her. But she takes this burden and this struggle to the Lord powerfully and beautifully in this text. So 1 Samuel chapter 1, we'll start in verse 10. Hannah was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me, and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, how long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, no, my lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. Then Eli answered, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. And they went back to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. So have we tried to be somebody we aren't this week when we've gone to the throne of grace? Or have we been more like Hannah, who poured out her soul before the Lord? And I want to end by sharing a story from D.A. Carson that convicted me about my own prayer life recently. He tells this story about a couple by the name of Mr. and Mrs. Guild, and this is what he writes. Mr. and Mrs. Guild were driving along down the road, and they happened to notice a late model Cadillac with its hood up parked at the side of the road. Its driver appeared somewhat perplexed and agitated. Mrs. Guild and her husband pulled over to see if they could offer assistance. The stranded driver hastily and somewhat sheepishly explained that he had known when he left home that he was rather low on fuel, but he had been in a great hurry to get to an important business meeting, so he had not taken time to fill up his tank. The Cadillac needed nothing more than refueling. The Guilds happened to have a spare gallon of fuel with them, so they emptied it into the thirsty Cadillac and told the other driver of a gas station a few miles down the road. Thanking them profusely, he sped off. 12 miles or so later, they saw the same car. Hood up, stranded at the side of the road. The same driver, no less bemused than the first time and even more agitated, was pathetically grateful when they pulled over again. You guessed it. He was in such a hurry for his business meeting that he had decided to skip the gas station and press on in the dim hope that the gallon he had received would take him to his destination. It is hard to believe anyone would be so stupid. And then Carson turns the tables on us here, and he says, until we remember that that is exactly how many of us go about the business of Christian living. We are so busy pressing on to the next item on the agenda that we choose not to pause for fuel. We choose not to pause and pray. We choose not to pause and reorient our hearts towards the Lord in prayer. We choose to neglect the throne of grace. So have we been so busy pressing on to the next item on our agenda this week that we have chosen not to pause at the throne of grace and pray? I'll give you a few moments to pray silently, and I'll close us in prayer. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful and grateful just for the chance to come and worship freely every afternoon in this building. It is just a great privilege and joy to gather in worship. And Father, we are thankful for your precious word that we have so readily available, the living and active word. But Father, we confess that there have been times this week where we have neglected time alone with you and with your word. So Father, forgive us for not treasuring your word like we should. Forgive us for turning away from it and spending time on other things rather than reading your word. And Father, as we think about Hebrews 4:16, we must confess that there have been times this week where we have not boldly come to your throne. There have been times where we have been so busy pressing on to the next item in our agenda that we just haven't stopped for fuel, as D.A. Carson would say. We haven't paused and prayed. So, Father, forgive us for neglecting the throne of grace. And, Father, there are even times we have come to you. Father, there's been times where we have come with pretense. We have not dealt with the serious issues of our heart, and we have sort of acted like everything was fine when really there was deep struggles in our heart. So forgive us for not pouring out our souls before you. Help us to be more like Hannah, who just poured out her soul before you with anxiety and many tears. But Father, we are so grateful that even though our sins are many, that your mercy is more. Your mercy is so much more. We are so thankful that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're thankful that you have cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. And I just pray that the gospel would give us a great and deep abiding joy every day of our lives. And Father, I just pray for Mark as he gets ready to open up your word to us. I pray you'd use him in a powerful way today on this communion Sunday. I pray you'd come by your Spirit, you'd fill this room, you'd help us to be attentive to your word. And I pray you'd help us to apply your word, Father. We want to be not only hearers, but we want to be doers of the word. So I pray that you'd help us to apply, Father. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.